Amen. Have your Bible turned to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I'm going to read that verse in just a moment, but good to see you this morning. And we want to open with a word of prayer, and we want to remember the Case family. We want to remember Laria and her family, especially because her mom died last week, and so it was unexpected. She wasn't feeling good, hadn't been for a while, but they didn't expect that. So let's remember them this morning as well. Lord, be with us this morning as we're here today. We do think of Laria and Ian and the family, and we know, Father, that this was something that they knew was coming, but they did not know how quickly this would be. So we pray, Father, you would tend to them, and Lord, as a church and a family, we might be able to be some help. Lord, help them to recognize and realize we're more willing to try to do what we need to do to help them during this difficult time. Lord, be with Bob this morning as he's home. Tested positive COVID the other day, had the first infusion, we'll have the second infusion this afternoon. Pray, Father God, that you'll just strengthen him. Lord, there's a lot of folks out there that have special needs, and we pray, Father, that you would work in each and every life. Lord, we thank you for the answers of blessing and the answer to prayer that you've given us in so many, many ways, and we pray, Father, you will continue to do that. Be with us now as we look at your word. Pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us, open our hearts and our mind to the truth of it, and Father, that you might speak to us out of it. Convict us where we need conviction. If we need encouragement, Lord, help us to be encouraged. Lord, if we need to be directed in some particular way, as to gifts or talents or how we might serve you, Lord, let that be possible, that we might understand even this day what those needs of our lives are, that we might be humble, submissive to you. Be with us now as we look at your word. For these things I ask in Jesus' mighty, mighty name, amen. You know, in 1965, there was a song that was written by Hal David and Burt Bacharach, and it kind of went like this: what the world needs now is love, sweet love. What's that next? No, not just for some. What? It's the only thing? Did I skip that? What the world needs now is love, sweet love, love, sweet love. It's just the only thing we need now? Oh, little love. Come up here and stand. Anyway, it says something, Lord, we don't need another mountain and all those kind of things. And obviously, you know, the scripture teaches us that God is love. Now, it's not the same kind of love as they were singing about, but nevertheless, we recognize and realize that. But I want you to look with me this morning at 2 Timothy just for a second, because there is something that we need to recognize and realize in our lives, especially every believer, but men, it's Father's Day today. So over in 2 Timothy, Paul's exhorting Timothy. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing or understanding the word of truth. So today is Father's Day, and I think to myself, yes, this old world we're living in is stumbling, rambling like a drunken sailor all over the place. And we could use a special infusion of your Holy Spirit. We could use a little more love for each other, fellow believers, and those that do not know Christ. But today is Father's Day, and I think to myself, I think perhaps one of the greatest needs our world needs today is men of God. Fathers who take the responsibilities that God has given to them and who will raise up and assume those responsibilities, raise their children, raise their homes, they'll touch their family, they'll touch their society, they'll touch the world, they're doing what we need to be doing in God's church as well. The Apostle Paul, of course, is trying to urge Timothy to give heed to those responsibilities of a Christian man. So if you're here today and you're naming Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there are actually more responsibilities on you than there are for the unsaved person. God expects more from you because you know Christ. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. Your sins have been forgiven. You've been placed into a body. There's all kinds of privileges he has given to us as believers. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. And of course, Micah has this very simple little formula. What to do the Lord requires of thee, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There's not a whole lot of difficult things there. It's just hard to do. And so we need to recognize that. The basis upon which happiness, fulfillment in life, purpose is built for any man. But they're not simple, but yet they're straightforward. It is futile to think that we can relate properly to each other, men and women, in Christ, without a living relationship with a living God. If you're running from God, you will never have peace. Isaiah 57:21 says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So if you haven't embraced Christ, you've got to be right there first. Don't worry about this other stuff. That's the first place to start. Jesus over in Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, if you look at that passage, you will see what is the things that Jesus said, all these things. He's talking about eating and drinking. He's talking about raiment and clothing. He says, your heavenly Father knoweth that you need of all these things, and that God will provide them. He says, take no heed. Verse 28, for your raiment, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass in the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought for what you should eat or drink. We're depending upon God. These are the things your heavenly Father knoweth what you need. Over in Isaiah chapter 41, it says, gentlemen, now listen to this. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen, if you're walking with the Lord, who else do you need? Psalmist said, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and forgiveness. That's the character and nature of God. That's the character and nature of our God. We're the ones who are up, down, in and out. Some days we're happy and some days we're sad. Sometimes our speech is pleasing unto God. Some days it's not. Some days our activities and our behavior is okay. Other days we're just grouchy as all can get out. My wife would say amen to that. And all those kind of things. That's us, but not the Lord. The Lord is steadfastly steady in his love and his graciousness to us. Listen, fathers, the Lord God Almighty is not against you. He's for you. He's for you. I read a story about a doctor who had a male patient. A man came in, and he was having some terrible times, and some things were happening in his health. And the doctor looked at him and did some examination, and he told the man, unless you do something quickly, you're going to die. You need to do something about stress. He says, you're under too much stress. I think a lot of people are under too much stress. Don't you think so? You pull up to the gas station and you're under stress. You go to the supermarket to get something, you're under stress. He says, so you're under stress. You're not eating right. You're not getting enough sleep. So the doctor tells him, tell your wife that she needs to start cooking for you and cooking nutritious meals. Well, we had some pizza last night. Oh, man. It was good. Ask her to help reduce the stress. Maybe keep the kids busy and so that you can relax a little bit. Make a budget. Make a budget. I'm not looking at her. Make a budget and stick to it. And if you'll do these important things, and she sticks to these things and helps you, I can guarantee you complete recovery. Otherwise, you're a dead man. So obviously the man was a little bit shook up about that whole situation. And he said, doctor, can you do me a favor? Will you call my wife before I get home and give her all these instructions? The doctor says, I'll do that. So the man gets home. His wife rushes out to him, gives him a big hug. She says, I just got a call from the doctor. Honey, she said, you've only got 30 days to live. All that for this, that little bit of, you see what it was is, never mind. If you have to explain the joke, it's no good. Listen, gentlemen, all may be against us, but God is for you. He knows your needs. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses, and he is always ready to help. He's always ready to help each and every one of us, whether we're male or female or husband or wife or whatever. But he is ready to help us as well. You know, when I was a young father sitting in the pew on Father's Day, we had a great preacher in Kentucky, Brother Don Zuber. But sometimes when he would preach on Father's Day especially, I just kind of went home feeling pretty guilty. You know, I just couldn't live up to those virtuous standards that he was talking about and extolling in that sermon. I have been told since then, not about father so much, but I have been told on a couple of occasions from women who come up to me on Mother's Day or before Mother's Day, and they say, pastor, do not preach again on that virtuous woman passage over there in Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is above rubies? And the idea was put to me pretty clearly. Nobody can live up to those standards. Well, listen, God's standards are high. No doubt about it. For men, for women, for husbands, for wives, for children, for everyone, for the church. All those things, they're high. But God is with us. And he will help us. This holds true in every aspect of our life. Without his help, it doesn't make any difference what you're doing or trying to do. You will not accomplish it in a way that's satisfactory to you, and most assuredly not satisfactory to God. God Almighty is always willing to help us be the kind of husband, the kind of man that we need to be. God is always willing to help the wife to be the kind of wife, the kind of woman she needs to be. Children as well. And we want to be a good father, I think. We want to be a good father to our children. We want to be a good husband to our wife. That's our heart's desire. But many, many times, we just fall short, don't we? We really do. And the world, of course, presents to us role models for manliness and all those kind of things. And they present, you know, Clint Eastwood, you know. I don't remember how many bullets I've got in this gun, you know. Or Rambo. And they're telling us, those are the kind, that's a man. Be like Rambo. Be like Clint in, you know, Fistful of Dollars or something like that or whatever it is. All those kind of things. Listen, those are fictitious. Rambo is not Rambo. He can't do what he's supposed to be doing. Clint Eastwood never did anything like that. Nobody ever did anything like those guys. It's not real. But if with God's help, we can be real in what we're doing. I read a story about a guy named Samuel. Now, it's not the story about Samuel in the Bible. This Samuel was a young kid as well. He had a difficult family situation. His parents were divorced. He lived with his mother and he lived with his grandmother. His grandfather was getting old. His grandfather was sick and having different problems. His mother had a stroke. She lost her job. Everything was in depression. Everything began to fall to Samuel. So he began to try to pick up a little work after school and various or anything like that to get a little income for the family. He began to do some shopping at the store. He began to try to pick up the clothes around the house, do a little of that kind of thing to help mom, help his grandfather. He actually was really kind of a remarkable young man. He went to school, and he was excellent in school. He was at the head of his class. He went to church faithfully. He was in his Sunday school class, and he was involved in the activities of the church. He loved the Lord. In spite of all these circumstances, though, Samuel was having trouble. He was dedicated to the Lord, but he was having difficulties. Let me just tell you, that's not an unusual story. We all fall short. We all have difficulties living up to the standards. But listen, if we don't shoot for the standards, we'll never get any place at all. So God's standards are high, but remember that God is with you and will help you do that. I don't know why I was watching that the other day. It was Thursday, and I was watching, turned on the crazy TV set, and it was, I think, Good Morning America, and that's not my favorite station, but it was just on there, I guess, maybe because of Jeopardy or something like that. Does Jeopardy come on that station at night? So maybe it was left over from the night before. I don't know. Anyway, there was an NBA basketball player on there, and I don't know his name. I tried to look it up afterwards to see who that was. I could never get it. But he was an NBA basketball player, and he was celebrating fatherhood. And they were just, you know, oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And the things that he talked about I thought were so interesting. He talked about his father. His father set the tone for his life. You know, that's what happens. That's what happens. He had a godly father. His father loved him, took him to practices, did all those kinds, sacrificed to go here, there, and yonder, do these special things for this young man. His father showed his dedication to him. He showed his dedication to his family, all those kinds. So he got a picture of a godly father to work with, and he said his name and all those kind of things. And I thought to myself, wow, that's really cool that this is being said on national TV on this particular type of program in the morning like that. And he was talking about his father and those good things that he had shown him in his life. Then he said, but now I'm a father. And they showed his wife, and they showed they had a little baby. And beautiful child, beautiful wife, all those kind of things. And you know what he said? He said, when I first held my baby, he said it was magical. I think that's probably true, isn't it? I don't know if that's the right word or anything like that, but that's the word he used. And I got what he was saying. And he would, whoever that girl was trying to interview him, she was trying to steer him off someplace. No, he'd come right back to, my father was a godly man. My father loved me. I love my wife. And that baby changed our lives. Picture, 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 picture. You know, just like one of these guys running around with his wallet. I thought, cool. His father, I'm sure, was not perfect. But he set an example. Gentlemen, if we set the example, even if it's not perfect, even if it's not what we would like in all cases, God can use that, and he can bring about some very important changes in lives. It's hard to live up, though, to being a good father. But in Christ, all things are possible, and never, never give up. God will give us his grace in your time of need, and it will be sufficient, all we need, even if it's not all we want. God will give us those things. Over in 2 Chronicles 15:7, it says, be ye therefore strong, therefore. Draw down deep. Call upon your faith. Trust in the Lord. Walk with him. Step out and see what God will do. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. God is right there with us. Don't ever give up. Even when you're asked something of the Lord, there's not an answer coming. Don't give up. Don't give up. I know that's hard. Keep praying. Hang in there. The answer may be just right around the corner. Matter of fact, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before last, I gave you a challenge. Could you pray every day? Could you read your Bible every day? Could you do those kind of things every day? That's easy to say. Was it hard to do? It was hard to do, wasn't it? There's always something coming up. There's always something happening. You sit down. I sat in my little chair like Archie Bunker. I'm in my chair all the time. And bing, the phone will ring, something like that. Or Caleb will come in from doing a musical concert in the music room, and he'll say something like, Papa, would you like that? And I want to say, it was good, Caleb. It really was. Listen, in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Lord Jesus talks about it. He says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, and what? Don't faint. Don't give up. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither responded to man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said unto himself, though I fear not God, nor regard any man, yet because this woman, this widow, cometh to me, troubling me, I will avenge her, lest she continually comes and wearies me. And the Lord Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be long-suffering with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes on the earth, shall he find faith? We're prone to lose heart. We're prone to stop whatever we're doing very, very easily, but we must not. The main reason we lose heart in prayer is because we don't get an answer immediately. It's coming, but we don't know it, and we just give up. Jesus concludes this parable with that question, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? I don't know if you've thought about that passage in that way or not. That sounds kind of a little bit strange, doesn't it? You see, what he's talking about there, I think, is while we're waiting for the glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must fight for the faith and keep the faith and go about doing the things that faithful people of God do. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will he find his people being his people? Jesus will come, and will he find his glorious church doing the things that they should be doing? I think there's a question mark there. Not losing faith, but steadfastly being in faith. Are you fighting the good fight of faith? or have the struggles of your life wore you out? You know, there's an old song that says, "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things, give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O man of God, his kingdom tarries long. As faithful workmen watch and pray, the light of night is wrong. Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, your strength unequal to the task." We could do it. Rise up, O men of God. Lift up the cross of Christ. Tread where his feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God. Gentlemen, the world doesn't need more love. What the world needs is to see men of God living faithfully the principles of God. And when they see that, they'll be astonished, like I was astonished to see that young man saying that on national television on that secular station, and he didn't care. He didn't care. You know, I read a story years and years ago about these three guys. They went up to Lake of the Woods, and they were after these muskie. You know what a muskie is? It's kind of like a big, giant pike. Got a lot of teeth. And they were muskie fishing. They got up there, set their tent up. They went out and fished all day that afternoon. They'd traveled half the day to get there. Didn't get a bite. They came back, started raining. They tried to fix their supper and things like that. The rain was coming down. It was so cold. It started changing to snow. The next day, they got up the crack of dawn, put on the rain gear, went on the lake, and went all over the place, throwing, casting, doing all those kind of things. Came, not even a bite. Got back to the camp again, and they couldn't hardly get anything prepared for supper and all those kind of things. One of the guys said, maybe we ought to get home. You know, this is miserable. One of the guys said, "Well, okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but," he said, "let's give it one more day. Let's give it one more shot. Let's do that." All right. Well, we have to get up anyway. We might as well get up early, go out and take the boat out. And when we come back in, we can get our stuff gathered up and get ready to go home. So they went out the next morning. They hadn't been out there fishing less than an hour, and they caught the world record muskie. And when they talk about that story, you know what they say? Was the greatest fishing trip we'd ever been on. What makes the difference? Just one fish. It's difficult. It's raining. It's messy out there. Our plans get upset and all those kind of things. But listen, it's all worth it in the Lord. It's all worth it. If you could see what's happening to those around you and those that you love, you would know and understand, keep on. Never, never, never quit. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." Isn't that interesting? Of all the things that Jesus was doing, miracles, teaching, and all those kind of things, they asked him one thing, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus said, "Pray like this." What's the first couple words? "Our Father." Our Father. That's the image. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as what? As it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord knows we need those kind of things. He's going to supply those kind of things. We shouldn't get all upset about all those kind of things. I do. I know. I'm not saying I don't do. But we shouldn't. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. God's not going to do that. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Father. Our Father. You know, there was a period of time in my life when I was about 16 or 17 or something like that. And my dad was a military man, as you know. He was a first sergeant most of his life. And so, as I said it before, he didn't want any of my advice. He didn't call me to, Mike, what do you think about this? No. It was just come, do what I say, and do it now. You're probably already running behind schedule. Do it now. So what he wanted me to do was come to attention, salute, and say what? Yes, sir. That's all he wanted. And then bring back the right screwdriver. I'm 6 years older than my brother. My brother died a couple of years ago, but I'm 15 years older than my sister. My sister came into the house one evening. We were home on vacation, and she had her girlfriend. I think she was 28, 30 years old, I don't know. She wasn't a kid. She was hard to marry. She wasn't a kid. She came in, my dad's sitting in his chair, just like Archie Bunker, just like me. And my sister gets on his lap, gives him a hug, gives him a kiss. Dad, can so-and-so and I go over to Farmington? There's a movie that we're wanting to see. My dad said, well, I guess so. And she said something else. She started to get up. And my dad said, wait. And then he did this miraculous thing. He took out his wallet, and he opened his wallet, and he reached in there and got some money and gave her the money to go to the movie and told her, get a bag of popcorn. Then he reached in his pocket, and he said, here, you better take my truck because it looks like it might be a little nasty tonight. I was sitting on the couch. And I saw this with my own eyes. I saw it. I thought, what has happened? What has happened to my dad? Did she come in with a little magic wand and sprinkle pixie dust on him or something? I never got it. I would say, Dad, can I borrow the car? Well, I don't know. Got any money for gas? Well, I expect that car to be gassed up. Okay? Matter of fact, he says you probably should vacuum it out and clean it up and everything like that. I want it better looking when you come back with it than it is now. Gee, I just wanted to borrow the car for a couple of hours. I didn't want to buy it, you know? But he gives her money for the movie, gives her keys and all those kind of things. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. Why? He loved her. I think he loved me. I think he loved my brother. But we were treated differently. But I said that to my dad. My sister goes out. We're sitting there on the couch. And I said, Dad, hey, what's going on here? He looked at me.
What are you talking about?
I said, Patty came in, got on your lap, gave you a hug, asked you to go to the movies. You gave her money for the movies. You gave her your car to go to the movies. You made no demands on her whatsoever. What's happened here? He says, just sit down over there and be quiet. He said, that's my daughter. Well, hey, I'm your son. But listen, God the Father loves us. He wants to give us all that we need. He really does. He does. The thing that's critical for us, don't give up. Don't do it. The blessing could be right around the corner. The answer could be right around the corner. Most of the time, we ask for something, and God gives us more than we expect. Doesn't he not? He does. Don't give up. Our Father is God, the Father, all-powerful, all-loving, strength unequaled to our task in Him. Don't give up. Lord, help us as men, fathers today, to be the kind of people that You would be well pleased with. Lord, we can come and we can sit down on Your lap. Who can draw us close to You. And You love us, and You bless us, and You use us. Lord, sometimes the answer to a prayer is no, because it's not conducive for our overall well-being. But many, many times, Lord, we need to learn something in that prayer answer as well. Help us to be persistent, tenacious, and never give up. Lord, I ask Your blessing on those today that are here, the men, the women. Lord, there's this high standard for us as Christian people, no doubt about it. But You'll never leave us nor forsake us. You'll celebrate Your power through us, and the world will see it. Help that to happen. And we'll bless those around us, and we'll be joyful in who we are. For these things I ask in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen.